This is Yes Presents Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm Sonali Kolhatkar, Racial Justice Editor at Yes Media. You can find this program at yesmagazine.org, watch it on Free Speech TV, and listen to it on community and independent radio stations nationwide. The Federal Trade Commission and 17 U.S. states have just brought a long-awaited, groundbreaking antitrust lawsuit against the online retail giant Amazon. Led by FTC Chair Lina Khan, who only a few years ago wrote a powerful and now famous law school paper arguing for a breakup of Amazon, the suit charges the tech company with illegally maintaining a monopoly at the expense of small businesses and consumers. My guest is Ron Knox, senior researcher at the Institute for Local Self-Reliance, an organization that has long called for a breakup of Amazon. Welcome to the program, Ron.
Thank you, Sonali. Good to be here.
So first, why is it that Amazon is being charged with maintaining an illegal monopoly? From its perspective, it's doing just fine because consumers are, you know, very, very strongly using the tech company. Most Americans these days seem to have an Amazon Prime account and get stuff, everything from groceries to sofas delivered to their homes. What is Amazon doing wrong?
Yeah, that's right. Well, look, what the FTC is saying is that indeed, Americans love to shop on Amazon.com. The reason they do is because they honestly don't have another choice out there. I mean, the case starts with Amazon's monopoly, and its monopoly exists in a few different ways. First of all, it's just their literal share of the market, right? Half of every sale that happens online happens on Amazon.com. That's for every product. For some more specific products, like for kitchen goods or for books, for example, it's way more than 50%. We're talking about 60, 70, 80% of every sale online. And then it's also the power of Amazon's Prime membership network, right? 200 million American households now have a Prime subscription. And that locks those shoppers into Amazon because they want to make sure they're getting the most out of that, you know, subscription fee, which just keeps going up. So that's the size thing. So that's what the FTC is saying. They're saying the customers are locked in. Amazon controls the market. And with that control, it does a couple of things. If you're a small business and you're trying to reach those customers that are out there, those shoppers that are out there, you have to sell on Amazon.com, right? It has the 50% market share or even more, and it has all the Prime members. So what Amazon is accused of doing is essentially abusing and ripping off those small businesses, those third-party sellers that have to be on Amazon.com in order to reach the customers. And it does that through these ever-increasing and often exorbitant fees that it charges. We consider them tolls, right? It's a toll to for the privilege of using Amazon's infrastructure because it's a monopoly, right? And those tolls include everything from just a kind of entrance fee to get in the door, to these ever-increasing charges for storage and shipping, which Amazon basically requires the small businesses to use. If they don't use it, they don't get the Prime badge, and then shoppers don't ever see their listings online, right? So they have to pay those fees. And then increasingly, they have to pay fees for advertising as well. Anyone that shops on Amazon knows that you put in a keyword in the search bar, you hit go. It's not just the first page, but it's multiple pages of search results are littered with these advertisements, and they're often for not exactly what you were looking for, these knockoff products, that kind of stuff. So the small businesses that sell online know, okay, if we want to actually find the customers, we have to pay for these ads too. So that's one part of the FTC's lawsuit, right? That Amazon is abusing the small businesses that sell online by adding these ever-increasing and unavoidable fees. At this point, half of every sale that happens online from a small business, half of every sale goes to Amazon, through fees. And then the other part is the consumer part. The other part is this kind of knock-on effect, right? The FTC says, look, because Amazon charges these small businesses these exorbitant fees, the small businesses then have to raise their prices because they have to cover their overhead. They have to try to have a margin there and stay in business. So the prices are often higher on Amazon.com, but Amazon says to the third-party sellers, look, if you want to be on Amazon, you cannot sell your products for less than what you sell on Amazon.com anywhere else online. And that includes your own websites, that includes other competing marketplaces. Whatever price you give us, that's what you have to put out there as well, or it has to be higher. If you don't do that, we're going to bury your listings in the search results. And that's catastrophic for small businesses, because then that 50%, 70% of the online market of all those shoppers out there never see the products. So
I mean, that's incredible, because I think,
I
think consumers have no idea about this aspect of it, right? I mean, when people go and shop on Amazon, they see the great prices and they might, you know, check and see, well, let me check the seller's website to see if I can get a better deal. And it turns out Amazon has either the same or better deal, but they also then get free shipping. So they end up using Amazon, but they have no idea that the seller, the third party seller, which is often a small business, is basically having to eat up a lot of cost. And I don't know, it sounds like they might even have to operate at a loss just to get their product out there.
I mean, that's exactly right. The, you know, consumers, your regular shopper, they don't see this. This is this illusion that Amazon has the lowest price and they offer the free shipping. They offer these other things. What the consumer, like you and me, what we don't see is that this additional cost, all these fees, all these taxes that Amazon tax onto every sale, they're all built into that price. And then Amazon maintains that artificially high price, so shoppers can't find a better deal anywhere else online. So what happens? It's this continued lock-in. It's like this cycle, right? The consumers know they can't get a better deal anywhere else because of this, you know, this agreement between Amazon and the third-party sellers that Amazon imposes. So then they just say, well, I'm just going to go to Amazon because the prices are low there and I get the free shipping. They don't understand that in actuality, they're getting ripped off with everything they buy. And that's what the FTC is alleging.
So let's talk about how the FTC can proceed. And even just antitrust lawsuits in general, we have had these laws on the books, federal laws on the books for a long time. How often are antitrust laws actually used successfully? And specifically, what is this lawsuit trying to do? What is its ultimate goal?
So it's very interesting. There are a couple of different parts to your question. We can talk about what the FTC's ultimate goal is for this lawsuit, which I think is what it says it is, and that's to restore and increase competition to this industry. But what's interesting is the legal part of it, right? For the last 40 years or so, this particular law and this set of laws that the FTC is using to prosecute this case, to file the lawsuit under, they haven't really been used, not in the way that they were in the decades after the laws were passed around the turn of the 20th century. The most notable example, I think, is the Microsoft antitrust case, which the Department of Justice filed against Microsoft in the late 90s and went into the early 2000s. That was a pure monopolization case, and it has a lot of parallels to this case. But the law that the FTC is using right now is pretty straightforward in its application. It says you can't have a monopoly and use illegal and illicit tactics to maintain or grow that monopoly power. You have to let other people compete. And what the FTC is saying is that Amazon, through its actions, is not doing that. It's essentially trying to build a moat around its business and around the online marketplace in general, so that no other marketplace is out there, so that sellers can't go sell on those other marketplaces and shoppers can't go shop on those other marketplaces. And it's using this whole suite of different tactics and things to make that happen. Now, what the FTC's ultimate goal is, I think, is probably twofold. And this is just coming from me, not the FTC. I think, one, the FTC definitely wants to restore competition to this market. The FTC thinks that were it not for Amazon's tactics, there would be multiple online retailers, marketplaces where small sellers could go to sell their goods, and that shoppers would have lower prices, more choices, better service, all those things that come along as the benefits of competition. That's one thing. And then I do think, look, you know, Lina Khan and the other commissioners at the FTC and staff of the FTC want anti-monopoly laws to be strong, to be robust, and to be upheld in court, and for courts to say, yes, this law is good and you can prosecute cases under it, and that these kinds of corporate abuses aren't going to stand. And that's, I think, you know, potentially a secondary, but a very real goal of the FTC to really build up good case law around the anti-monopoly laws, because you see monopolies across the economy. And I think that if this works, and the Google case that's happening right now, if these work, there are going to be more cases to come.
So Amazon is responding, of course, as it will do, in ways that sound like the standard tired corporate responses, which is that the FTC lawsuit, if it were to succeed, would only hurt the consumer. It would lead to higher prices, slower deliveries. What do you make of that? How do you respond to that? It would stifle innovation, right? That those like standard talking points. You hear this, for example, anytime unions demand higher wages as well. It'll stifle innovation and increase prices for consumers. Is any of that valid?
I don't think so. I don't think it is valid. And I think, I mean, it's interesting to me because if you read the lawsuit and simply hear what the FTC is saying, see what Lina Khan has been saying, you know, publicly since this lawsuit was filed, it's like this kind of, you know, bizarro world funhouse mirror reflections of the very clear allegations that are in the FTC's lawsuit and that are coming from, you know, from the government. And indeed, the government's exact goals are precisely opposite of what Amazon says and claims is going to happen. What the government is saying is, look, we want lower prices. We want more competition, and the benefits of this competition mean lower prices. They mean more innovation. They mean more choice for consumers and for businesses that have to rely on this monopoly marketplace. What Amazon is saying is, I mean, I think indeed the exact opposite of what the actual result would be were this lawsuit to be successful. So I think it's just your kind of, you know, typical corporate spin. I think it's strange that it's you know, again, it's claiming this bizarro world version of reality that's going to happen if the FTC wins. I suppose we'll see. We'll see what arguments end up being made in court. But no, I don't put a lot of stock in what Amazon says about the lawsuit.
Going back to the way consumers see this, from a consumer's perspective, which is, of course, a big part of the consumer base of Amazon is, or I should say a big part of the American public is a consumer, is part of the consumer base of Amazon, just because of how many people shop there. From their perspective, things are working just fine. How do you make that case that if Amazon is allowed to continue the way it's continuing, they're going to see, you know, these effects. They're going to see XYZ, you know, they're going to see, I don't know, if it's a climate catastrophe, workers' wages, if there's independent businesses. What are the ill effects of letting Amazon continue its monopoly power?
I mean, it's tricky. And I think that it's something that the FTC and that advocacy organizations have worked out for a long time to make clear that Amazon, you know, that like the core business model for Amazon in the online retail space is exploitative, and it does raise costs and it does limit innovation and it does all the things that, I mean, again, like you said, you know, maybe consumers out there do think that Amazon's giving them the best deal and it's the best possible experience. I don't know how regular folks who use Amazon to search for and to buy products think that nowadays. I don't think it's a very compelling experience if you shop on Amazon. I think it's muddied. I think it's cluttered. I think it probably feels expensive at this point. And I think the public just has to appreciate what exactly the FTC is saying, is that this thing that you're probably experiencing when you're actually out there shopping is the thing that's actually happening. And it's happening because Amazon is violating the letter and the spirit of the antitrust laws by raising prices and raising costs for sellers and for consumers. I think the important thing to remember here is that this case is going to turn on the law and on the court's interpretation of the law. And I think that the hope is that the court understands what the FTC is saying, respects the letter and the intent of Congress in passing the antitrust laws, which is to promote, you know, competition and small business innovation and all those kinds of things. and fines in favor of the government. And if and when that happens, I think consumers, regular folks out there, they're going to see the difference and they're going to understand the difference when they see the lower prices, when they see new marketplaces entering, when they have different and innovative ways to ship their goods, to get goods, you know, shipped to their house, and the small businesses can respond to that, to that need. I think it's going to make for a better marketplace. So I think the proof's going to be in the pudding for the public.
And then what could a successful lawsuit result in? It's not as though the FTC is trying to destroy Amazon completely, right? And if Amazon were to actually comply, it seems as though the worst that could happen would be Amazon, you know, maybe Jeff Bezos won't be the richest man on the planet, or that the shareholders, you know, will be earning $1.75 billion instead of $2 billion, etc. Is it just profit margins that would be impacted if Amazon were to comply?
Well, look, what the FTC has asked for in this lawsuit is not very specific, right? Some antitrust suits ask for specific, what are called remedies, basically how to fix the problem. What the FTC is asking for is basically whatever the court thinks is necessary to solve the allegations that are contained in the lawsuit, if indeed the court finds that Amazon did break the law. So one of those possibilities, and this is in the complaint, is called structural relief. That means you have to change the physical nature of the company in order to solve some of the problems that are at issue in the lawsuit. Now, that's as far as the FTC goes. And if Amazon is found to have broken the law, then that'll be a whole new debate about how to actually fix the problem. But I can tell you what ILSR thinks, like what conclusion we've reached, and I think lots of other advocacy organizations have reached this as well. There's really no way that we see to solve these problems, which are all about the different conflicts between the different parts of Amazon's business, without actually changing the physical nature of the company. And this doesn't mean destroying Amazon necessarily. This means making Amazon better and resolving these kind of internal conflicts of interest that exist when you are both the marketplace, you're the shipping company, you're your own retailer, right? Amazon sells its own branded products on its site that compete with these third-party small business sellers. You have all these kind of inherent built-in conflicts of interest. And I personally, and I think a lot of other folks, don't see a clear way to solve them without actually moving the company around. Maybe you spin this off into its own separate company, And then Amazon can just be a marketplace, and that's great. And then Amazon can be more responsive to the wants and the needs of both the small businesses and the shoppers that use its site. And there will be more options out there for everything from selling and shipping. I think that's probably where we're headed.
I mean, I'm almost thinking about how like a company or a platform like Etsy operates. Is that the sort of thing that you think Amazon could become in terms of what's more responsible?
Well, I think if you end these conflicts of interest, and I think, again, probably you need to change the structure of the company in order to do that, I just think you open up all these different options for everybody out there, right? Let's say you're a small business and you're selling on Amazon.com and you're there to reach the customers. But let's say you don't want to use Amazon Logistics for whatever reason. Maybe you think it's too expensive, and it is very, very expensive for shipping certain kinds of goods, right? Or maybe you think it has horrendous labor practices, which I think there's a ton of evidence now out there that it does indeed have bad labor practices. And it's involved in union busting and all these different things. Maybe you'd rather use a union shipper like UPS, or you'd rather use the Postal Service. And all of these different places now, everybody offers two-day shipping now. It's become the industry standard for everybody. You would have the ability to make those choices based on those values, whether it's price or whether it's something else. And it would open up the marketplace to all kinds of different, both internal and external competition. or you could go to, or you could sell more things on Etsy, or a whole new marketplace, you know, comes up and offers way lower fees or way better service for the small businesses and for customers. I think that is what, I don't think it's necessarily one model, like an Etsy model or like an eBay model or anything like that. I think it's just this idea that if you end these conflicts and you restructure this company, it's going to be like opening a door to all kinds of new competition, new innovation on both sides of that market.
Well, it remains to be seen certainly how this proceeds, because antitrust lawsuits are few and far between. It is a major step for any administration to bring an antitrust lawsuit, let alone against a company as big as Amazon. Ron, give out a website for the Institute for Local Self-Reliance and also just a brief nutshell, a description of your organization.
Sure. We are an organization that fights against corporate concentration and corporate control for the benefit, strength of strong, independent, and democratic communities and economies. And you can find us at ilsr.org. Ron M. Knox on all the different socials if you're looking for me.
Thank you again, Ron, and good luck to you.
Thank you, Sonali. Appreciate being here. Thank you so much.
My guest has been Ron Knox. He is a senior researcher at the Institute for Local Self-Reliance, and we've been talking about the FTC's lawsuit against the retail giant Amazon. I'm Sonali Kolhatkar, racial justice editor at Yes Media and host of Yes Presents Rising Up with Sonali. You can find this program at yesmagazine.org, watch it on Free Speech TV, and listen to it on community and independent radio stations nationwide. Our audio podcast can be found at iTunes and Spotify.